As we prepare for the message today, I want to invite you to bow with me. Amen. I want to retell for you that Old Testament story. Jacob had been gone for a long time away from home, and there were some darn good reasons why that happened. Jacob was a twin. Abraham was his grandfather, Isaac was his father, and that father, there were twins. Esau was the older, and that meant that he was supposed to get all of the basic family wealth. But in an episode earlier in their lives, Jacob had cheated him out of that. And the two brothers had separated, and they had taken all of their properties, and they had gone their separate ways, and it was not a happy parting. And now the time came in Jacob's life when he wanted to go back again. But this was not easy. And so they came within distance of Esau's land. And then Jacob started to do some strategic planning. And he sent his servants ahead to say, oh, by the way, Jacob's coming. And with the servants, he sent goats, and he sent camels, and he sent livestock, and he sent gifts so that Esau, he was buttering up Esau, making him more ready for this return of the long-lost and good riddance brother. The next day, he would send his children in advance, and he sent his wives in advance to say, we are honoring you, Esau, as we return. And finally, there was a moment when Jacob was all alone, and that night he slept. And as he was coming into the night and preparing for that sleeping, he encountered a man who came, and there was a conflict that arose, and the two wound up wrestling through the night, trying to figure out who was the stronger, who was the better, who had the upper hand. And finally, in the morning, the stranger said to him, let's call it a draw. As we are tied, let me bless you. What is your name? And he said, Jacob. My name is Jacob. And the stranger said, from now on, you will be known as Israel. Because what that means is one who struggles with God, one who wrestles with God. And Jacob, now Israel, said, tell me your name. And the stranger said, you know what? It just doesn't even matter. And he blessed Jacob, Israel, the one who struggles. Struggles for what? Israel was struggling to find his identity. Who was he? As he was about to return to his brother, which was going to completely change everyone's life, his brother's life, his brother's family's life, his brother's property's life, his Jacob's life, his family, everything was about to change. Who was he? What was his role? What was his identity? This is what we wrestle with. What is our identity? I wrestle with it. You wrestle with it. Who are we? And who is it that tells us who we are? Well, I turned 16. And in that year, as with many young adults who turn 16, this was a year of exploration and confusion and discussion and searching. What is my identity? And so I was one of those who was wrestling with God. I was one of those who was struggling in day-to-day, simply asking the question, now who am I and who am I supposed to be? Every day I would look in the mirror, and there were certain adjectives, because really, that's what I was doing. I was searching for adjectives. What is it that describes me and tells me who I am? I would look in the mirror and I would say, tall. thin, white, male, European descent. I would have all of these adjectives that were already right there. All I had to do was to look in the mirror. But then, interestingly, I had adjectives that were given to me, and I was asked to live into them. I was a scout, and that meant that in those years, I lived by the scout law. To this day, I still do. These were 12 adjectives that were given to me, and my instructions were to live into them, to become them. A scout is trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent. And there came a moment when I quit saying a scout is, and I said, Scott is. All of those things. And I lived into those adjectives. But then there were some of the adjectives that I didn't know what to do with. Athlete. Question mark. I stood 6'4". I weighed 155 pounds. I was a toothpick. There were some things that I was really good at when it came to being an athlete. And there were other things that I was just horrible at. I could run like the wind, but I was lousy on the basketball floor, and we're not even going to try football. There were certain things that were good and certain. So I lived with this question mark. Am I an athlete or am I not? What kind of athlete and what kind of am I not? But how about this one? In faith, what about the adjective Christian? Question mark. People expected me to be Christian. Why? Because my father, the pastor, was Christian. And my mother, the pastor's wife, was Christian. It was just a predetermined, you will be Christian. And when I turned 16, I wasn't willing to accept the expectations of others. I had to figure it out for myself. Was I? Was I not? What? In God's eyes, who am I? See, this was the wrestling. Because there were expectations of who am I? What adjectives am I supposed to live into? Because in the world's eyes, it was one thing, but in God's eyes, it was another. Does this sound like your journey at all? Yeah. That combination, what happens when the world's expectations and God's expectations come head to head? What happens? And Jacob wrestled with God. And Jacob struggled to find his identity. Well, it was very, very early in that year when I had turned 16 that I heard a sermon. And it was one of those sermons that stuck with me my entire life. It was Easter sunrise. And it was not my father who was preaching. It was one of the college students inside of my home church, one of the Dieter boys. And on that sunrise service at Easter, chilly, cold morning, we sat out on the lawn by the lake, and he stood up and he spoke. You see, this was a young man who had a powerful, powerful faith experience in college. And he came on fire to tell us about this faith in Jesus Christ. And I perked up right away. And then he got to the part of his preaching where he said, there's a point in life where we're here and not in faith. And then there's a point in life where we do have faith. And in order to get from this point to that point, you simply have to jump. There is no science that can lead you over here. You simply have to take a leap of faith. And there's nothing that I can do to prove to you that there is a God, and there's nothing that I can do to prove to you that this Jesus Christ is real. There comes a point where you just have to make the leap of faith. Oh my gosh, that's what I needed to hear. That was the exact point that I was at. What do I do in my struggle? And the answer was, I leaped. So I leapt. And I was able to adapt and to find out, I am a child of God. Not just find it out. I was able to live it out. I was able to experience the fact, I am loved and accepted by God. You know what? It didn't matter what others in the world would say. It didn't matter what my conflicts were. What mattered was that God loved and accepted me. Do you remember when Jesus was baptized? As he was beginning his ministry, Jesus went down under the water with John the Baptist, and the Holy Spirit came down on him, and when he came up, there was this voice. Do you remember what the voice said? It was this voice of God that said, "This is my Son, whom I love." That is the moment that I wish for in your life, in my life, in all of our lives together. Did you know that you are loved and accepted by God? This is my Son. You are my daughter, with whom I am well pleased. This is where our identity rests. Not what the world tells us, but what God tells us. You are accepted. All right, but now, what? What then? If you have been accepted by God, then what? Let me share with you again part of the gospel reading. From the gospel according to Matthew comes the feeding of the 5,000. What is absolutely fascinating to me is that this miracle story is the only miracle story that is found in all four gospels. Now, they're each told in different ways. But here it is. Matthew has a really interesting little twist to it that I've never seen before this week. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. And as evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place." Wait a minute. There was something in there that you didn't hear. Now, some of the other stories in the other Gospels will say, "And Jesus spoke to them." What is really interesting to me is that this version does not say that Jesus spoke to them. You know what? All of my life, I have pictured Jesus standing in front of the crowd, that crowd that is gathered and settled in pockets and in rows, and they're quietly paying attention to him as he preaches this wonderful, incredible, marvelous sermon. No. Can you imagine if you were the person asked to speak without a microphone to 5,000 people? It's almost impossible. Maybe Jesus didn't preach to the people. What it says is that he had compassion on them and healed the sick. This completely changed my vision of this story. Now what I'm envisioning is Jesus moving in and around among the crowd, moving, talking in intimate, "Tell me about your son, tell me about your daughter, what's going on with your uncle?" Sharing with people, listening to people, and then doing what came naturally to him. He healed them. Now, I don't know how that works. I've actually had a couple friends who have the gift of healing. And one of them tells me, he says, I can tell when there's someone in the room who needs healing that I can heal with. He said, because my palms get really hot. And he said, it's nothing that I do. It just happens. And it's like I'm a conduit and God's power moves through me. when he lays his hands on people, things happen. It's not a skill. It's not something he asked for. It just happens. It's a natural extension. This is how I picture Jesus. That this was not a skill that he honed and developed. This was simply something that he had the ability to do as that power of God moved in and through him. It was not something that he was prideful of. It's not something that he advertised. No, when Jesus was moving in that crowd, he was simply moving and doing what absolutely came natural to him. All right, when we struggle for our identity, there are moments when we have these breakthroughs and we actually can find ourselves. We find the adjectives. Oh, is that who I am? Oh, is that what I'm supposed to do? Oh, is this who God wants me to be? Now, when you find out what you need to be, it's time to do. But what do you do? It's not a huge search. A lot of times, it's surrendering, letting go, backing up, and asking God, where do you want me? God, if I'm supposed to go through the door, would you open that door for me? God, if I'm not supposed to go through that door, would you please close that door for me? Help me to see. Help me to discern. In the same way that Jesus was with those thousands of people, simply moving among them, learning, laughing, crying, healing. He was simply doing what came natural to him. This is what I want to invite you today. What is it that comes naturally to you? What is it that makes you laugh? What is it that breaks your heart? What is it that makes you excited? What is it that makes you curious? Yeah, curious. What is it that puts your heart at peace? Go do that. Go do that. And don't worry that you keep on struggling with it. The struggling is part of it. Who you are today is not who you will be 10 and 20 and 50 years from now. You will be changing, moving, growing, developing because God is not done with you yet. God is working with you. Listen, do you want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? That's intentional. You have to choose that. You have to work on that yourself. But the process is not a fight. It's a surrender. Let go. Let go. And let Christ move and live in you in joy, in curiosity, in excitement. What is it that God has equipped you to do? Do that. Don't be afraid of it. Do that. This is what it means to be a disciple. We take the leap of faith and then trust that God is going to help us discern, to figure out where we are supposed to be and what we're supposed to be doing. All right. Jacob struggled and Jesus healed. We all struggle. But each of us in our own way is here to live with and serve God. May it be this week that in the name of Christ, in the love of Jesus, in the power of God, that you simply move being yourself. No one else, just be yourself. And do from there. In Christ's name, amen. Would you pray with me? Lord, sometimes we search for a lifetime trying to figure it out. What are we supposed to do? Who are we supposed to be? Maybe it's not ours to figure out. Maybe it's ours to simply relax and listen as you move in and through our lives. Lord, teach us. Help us to surrender into your arms and be the person you would have us be in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.